Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air, KLW's weekly radio magazine of all things culturally considered. I'm your host, David LaTulipe. On this week's show, well, it's a look at and listen to some holiday offerings in the area, both traditional and off the beaten path. A couple of crones stop by. Terry Baum, she's a lesbian. And Carolyn Myers, she's a straight-lapsed Catholic, to discuss their comedy sketch show, Crones for the Holidays. A more traditional down-home Christmas preview from the Aurora Theater in the form of singer Nell Robinson and guitarist Jim Nunnally. A talk with actor Peter Gallagher, who has a cabaret appearance at the Venetian Room this weekend. Okay, well, that's not holiday-related, but it'll be a nice break from the sleigh bells. Plus, Beth Clark and Carrie Krasinski are in the house. They're co-founders of Sweet Can and are presenting Mittens and Mistletoe, a circus-like extravaganza that's actually intimate in size that has performances later this month at Dance Mission Theater. On top of all that, if you can believe it, Diane Keough and I will share some additional cultural picks for these next few weeks. Let's begin with some music on the more traditional front and a down-home Christmas. I should say traditional with a twang.
Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Holly's in the window, where the wind blows. I can't walk for running. Christmas time's a-coming. Can't you hear the bells a-ringing, bringing joy to all? Hear them singing. When it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. Christmas time's a-coming. Christmas time's a-coming. Christmas time's a-coming, and I know I'm going home. Candles are burning, my old heart's a yearning for the folks back home when Christmas time's a coming. Can't you hear them bells a ringing, bringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. Christmas time's a coming, Christmas time's a coming, Christmas time's a coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old heart's a calling, tall pines are humming, Christmas time's a coming. Can't you hear them bells a ringing, bringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. Christmas time's a coming, Christmas time's a coming, Christmas time's a coming, and I know I'm going home.
Everybody.
Christmas time's a coming, Christmas time's a coming, Christmas time's a coming, and I know I'm going home.
Man.
Wow. Live in the KLW studios, that was Nell Robinson and Jim Nunnally with Christmas Times Are Coming. Welcome to KLW.
Thank you so much.
That is such beautiful music. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you very much.
Your down-home Christmas with Nell and Jim is at the Aurora Theater in Berkeley for 8 performances only, December 13th through the 21st. Tell me a little bit about the genesis for the show.
Well, all right. I think that there's a new space in the Aurora Theater, which is a beautiful little cabaret space. And so we're actually inaugurating it. And I'm really excited about that because it's a great space and it'll have kind of a mixture of staging, which will come from the theater with lighting and a Christmas tree and a fireplace and cozy chairs and tables and things like that. And then, of course, music.
Truly down home.
Sure. Truly yes. Down home, really. And there's beer and wine and hot chocolate and holiday nibbles so people can eat and kind of relax and enjoy themselves. And so we thought it would be fun. And the Aurora, it was actually their idea. They approached us and said, would you all be willing to do something that's kind of like a little house concert? It's really an intimate way of, you know, just sharing the holiday with people and not make it all holiday music. So, you know, we have some great, beautiful holiday tunes, some that people will be able to sing along with, and some like this last one, which I think, you know, a lot of people won't know. But we're going to do a lot of other music, too. Just fun, just beautiful music.
Well, let's hear some more of it. I should say, as a way of introduction, Nell Robinson and Jim Nunnally are regular featured performers at Hardly Strictly Bluegrass, the Strawberry Music Festival, and include the Kennedy Center among their venues. Let's hear some more music.
Thank you so much. May I say just quickly, this is one of the things we'll be doing is previewing music from an upcoming album that we're releasing called House and Garden, and this is an original that's on that album. Do I feel? Don't ask me that. It's way too complicated to say. I feel like honey. I feel like dirt. I love you. I hate you. I'm afraid. Oh, honey, I'm lonesome tonight. But I want you to leave me alone. Still, I'd rather have your warm embrace than the cold comfort of the phone. Well, my heart says one thing, my head says another. My words come out wrong, too. Why are things so complicated when it comes to you? Why don't you come and get me? Or better yet, just go away. I don't think I can stand to see you. Why can't you just stay? Oh, I hate it when you ask me how I am. It throws me into disarray. At any one moment, I feel 100 things. You don't have time to hear me say, well, my heart says one thing, my head says another. My words come out wrong, too. Why are things so complicated when it comes to you? Oh, why are things so complicated when it comes to you?
Why are things so complicated when it comes to you?
Yes.
I think we've all been in relationships like
that. Can you
like
relate
that?
To that? Like, don't even bother asking me how I am. You don't have time to hear it.
It's on your new album?
It's our new album,
which
House and Garden.
Which you can find out more at NellRobinsonMusic.com. Nell Robinson and Jim Nunnally, my guests. Nell, I'd like you to talk a little bit about your stage name, if you would. I understand it's you weren't born Nell Robinson.
Oh, are you outing me? I'd be happy to, because I'm proud to sing in the name of my grandmother, who was Nell Robinson, and she was a special person in my life, and she still is, though she's been gone for a long time. And my family has been many generations, hundreds of years, from rural Alabama. And it's we call it L.A. for lower Alabama, for people in the know. And I have really a deep love for the stories and the people from that place. And they've played a big part in my life. And so... you know, it's been part of an inspiration behind wanting to sing and wanting to write music has been that inspiration from that place and that history and those people. So I sing in my grandma's name, Nell.
Very nice. The program is called A Down Home Christmas with Nell and Jim at the Aurora Theater in Berkeley. 8 performances only, December 13th through the 21st. You can find out more at auroratheater.org. Nell, Jim, I'm thanking you so much for sharing this live element of music with us.
Thank you so much. May I mention a couple special shows that
are
part of that?
Please do.
Okay, good. So it opens on December 13th, at 7:30, and that's opening night. And people who come to that show get free hot chocolate. And then the Sunday, December 16th, is a 5 p.m. matinee. And that's our family-friendly show, and we're encouraging people to bring their kids, and their kids can dress in their pajamas, and we'll have coloring crayons and things like that for them. And then on December 17th, which is Monday night, we're organizing a sort of flash caroling. So after the show, we're going to take the crowd out onto the streets of Berkeley and do some caroling up and down downtown.
What fun is that? Oh, what
Thank
fun
you.
It is with Nell and Jim. We're actually going to go out with a pre-recorded tune of yours. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Information at auroratheater.org. More information about their new CD, NellRobinsonMusic.com. Here's an appropriately Christmassy tune. Santa looks a lot like Daddy.
Well, Santa looked a lot like Daddy, or Daddy looked a lot like him. It's not the way I had him pictured. Santa wasn't much too thin. Well, he didn't come down the chimney, so Mama must have let him in. Santa looked a lot like Daddy, or Daddy looked a lot like him. Well, they thought I was fast asleepin'. They thought I was tucked in bed. They never thought I'd come a-peepin', or that I'd hear what was said. Santa put his arm around Mama, and Mama put her arm around him. So if Santa Claus ain't Daddy, then I'm a-gonna tell on them. Well, Santa looked a lot like Daddy, or Daddy looked a lot like him. It's not the way I had him pictured. Santa wasn't much too thin. Well, he didn't come down the chimney, so Mama must have let him in. Santa looked a lot like Daddy, or Daddy looked a lot like him. I never saw Dancer or Prancer. I never heard the sleigh bells ring. I never saw the red-nosed reindeer like they show them on the TV screen. But he sure brought a lot of presents, so Santa Claus he must have been. Well, he sure looked a lot like Daddy, or Daddy looked a lot like him. Well, Santa looked a lot like Daddy, or Daddy looked a lot like him. It's not the way I had him pictured. Santa wasn't much too thin. Well, he didn't come down the chimney, so Mama must have let him in. Santa looked a lot like Daddy, or Daddy looked a lot like him. Santa looked a lot like Daddy, or Daddy looked a lot like him.
Might I add an aha to that? Thank you once again, Nell and Jim. Santa looked a lot like Daddy. Their Down Home Christmas with Nell and Jim is at the Aurora Theater. More information at auroratheater.org. Good afternoon once again. Still to come on this jam-packed hour of Open Air, KLW's weekly magazine of all things culturally considered, a talk with Peter Gallagher from his home in Los Angeles. We'll have the Crones for the holiday live in the studio. And then I'll be talking with Diane Kehoe and about some other interesting holiday events that are happening here in the Bay Area. Next, I'd like to welcome Beth Clark and Carrie Krasinski. They are the co-founders of Sweet Can and are presenting Mittens and Mistletoe. It's a circus-like extravaganza that's actually on the intimate size that has performances later this month at Dance Mission Theater. Beth, Carrie, welcome to KLW.
Hi, thanks.
Let's hear a little bit about Mittens and Mistletoe.
Okay, well, so this is our sixth year of presenting performances in the holiday season at the Dance Mission Theater. And Mittens and Mistletoe is a collection of some very wonderful, locally talented circus artists. There's a wide variety of styles of performance and, of course, of the disciplines. There's juggling, there's acrobatics, there's trapeze, slack rope, some music, some live music, and an amazing thing called a roussir, which is like a man manipulating a giant circle around him in all imaginable directions and possibilities.
A little bit more of an unusual take on the holidays.
Yes. We like to kind of celebrate the holidays without celebrating any specific holiday, just celebrate being together and doing the things that we love to do and warmth and celebration and bringing people together for fun.
Tell me a little bit more about the other performers that are involved.
So we have Josh Gary, who was a musician and was performing with a group called Comfy Chair for a number of years. Karen Quest, a local, actually she is a local cowgirl, known for her rope tricks. But
well, there is a cow palace nearby. I suppose that's where she does some of her work.
Yes.
Well, maybe not.
All dare right. We say she's the cowgirl queen of the palace.
Oh, okay.
She actually will not be doing cowgirl tricks in this performance. It's a very unique opportunity. She's Ruby, our reindeer. Ruby, our reindeer, with a musical number and audience participation.
I believe she's Rudolph's sister, who didn't get the job.
Didn't make the cut.
Yes.
It was that glass ceiling kind of thing that was going on up at the North Pole.
Yes. And we made a format for her
well,
in our show.
That's very kind of you. So how did Sweet Can Productions get its start?
We started, the two of us right here, we were in a circus gym together, and we were working out, we were exercising, preparing our acts. And to be quite honest, I just looked at Carrie and I said, hey, do you want to do a show? And we did. Like, so many hours, so many meetings, so much sweat, so much love, so much in, from then until now. We have produced three unique shows over those 6 years. And I would say that really we just did it because there was no circus company that existed in San Francisco that had the type of circus that we loved.
Very nice. So you can start a new holiday tradition, if you'd like, at Dance Mission Theater by taking in a little bit of circus on an intimate level. There's something a little sweet from Sweet Can Productions. It's called Mittens and Mistletoe, a winter circus cabaret. Tickets and information are available at sweetcanproductions.com, or you can visit brownpapertickets.com for tickets directly. Again, performances are on the 21st of December through Christmas Eve, December 24th. Beth, Carrie, thanks for taking a little bit of time with us here on Open Air.
Thank you.
Bay Area Cabaret continues its season December 9th this Sunday with a Tony-nominated star of the stage, screen, and film, actor-singer Peter Gallagher, for one performance only at the Venetian Room. His show is called How Did All These People Get in My Room?, which received critical acclaim during its recent run at Feinstein's in New York. He joins me now by phone from his home in Los Angeles. Peter, thank you for taking some time today.
Well, it's lovely to speak with you, David.
I was just reviewing your catalog of accomplishments. Let's see, on film, American Beauty, Sex, Lies, and Videotape, The Player, oh, some 40 or so others, rave reviews for your Broadway work on Guys and Dolls opposite Nathan Lane and Pal Joey opposite Patti LuPone, more recently regular TV work on the shows The O.C. and Covert Affairs. And if I may humbly suggest, instead of How Did All These People Get in My Room? I think, given the season, you should maybe rename the show It's a Wonderful Life. What do you think?
Well, I totally agree that it is a wonderful life, and it's certainly appropriate. And actually, the title is How Do All You People Get in the Room?
Ah.
It's an old Dean Martin quote. How Do All You People Get in the Room? Yeah.
So tell me about the show.
Well, it was Dean Martin that, when I first saw his show when I was a kid, that opened my eyes to the possibilities that singing and storytelling and show business in general might offer. And for some reason, he just dazzled me. And since then, I always wanted to do a show where I sang and spoke and told stories. And I couldn't figure out how to do it without, you know, saying, and then I did, and then I did. I remember something my mother said years ago, which was, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. So I started to think about that in terms of my work. And I realized the things that will be making me smile when I'm on my deathbed are the moments I've had with, you know, some extraordinary people, some well-known, some not that well-known. And it's sort of the heart and the essence of how I reflect and how I remember and how I look at my career. I better tell these stories soon because, you know, some of these guys are like James Cagney and Jack Lemmon and Peter O'Toole, Mike Nichols, we were talking about earlier, and Robert Altman. And I realized I got to tell these stories soon while there's still people around who, you know who I'm talking about.
Well, let's talk about a couple of those fabulous co-stars you've worked with. Well, let's say Jack Lemmon, with whom you appeared in Long Day's Journey Into Night on Broadway.
Yes. I mean, that was a very special production for me because it was a part I'd always wanted to play. I played Edmund Tyrone, and Kevin Spacey played my brother in that. And Jack was our father, and it was directed by the wonderful director Jonathan Miller. It began a really deep friendship with Jack Lemmon that lasted the rest of his life. He gave me my first set of golf clubs, and we played a lot of golf. We did a few movies together. We did The Murder of Mary Fagan, a big TV miniseries that won a ton of awards. And, you know, he was almost like a father to me. It was a thrill doing Long Day's Journey with him. And I tell a story in the show about having gone through a tough period of time myself where I kind of lost confidence and I wasn't really sure what to do next. And one of these times after rehearsal, he was leaving and he said, hey, you got anything lined up yet? I said, no, Jack. And he said, me neither. And it gave me great comfort, and it still does, to know that Jack Lemmon worried about some of the same things I did and do.
Well, we spoke about our 6 degrees of separation between you and Mike Nichols and me. tell me about the work you did with him on Broadway.
I did 2 Broadway shows with Mike. The first one was The Real Thing by Tom Stoppard, the brand new American production starring Glenn Close and Jeremy Irons and Christine Baranski and Cynthia Nixon when she was still in high school. And then a couple of years ago, I did The Country Girl with Mike, for Mike, with Morgan Freeman and Frances McDormand. And I just saw him a couple of weeks ago when he came to my show in New York at Feinstein's. And I talk about him a little bit. I tell a story about getting notes with Tom Stoppard and also just talking about kids. Because my daughter actually joins me in this show. We do a duet, and she does an original song of her own. And he's just the smartest man I know. So every chance I can to receive his counsel, I do. And one day we were having lunch after the limited run of Country Girl was over. And I was asking him about, you know, raising kids, what his opinions were. He says, well, you know, they'll be all right. Just as long as they know that things that start out great don't always end that way. And things that start out poorly don't always end poorly. They'll be all right. That and study improv.
Words from a master, for sure, yeah.
And it was very encouraging for the band to see Mike and a number of the people I talk about in the show actually show up in New York and realize I wasn't making all these things up.
It's just extraordinary, the breadth of work that you've done. Do you have a preference for the musical theater end versus the live theater versus film versus TV?
Well, I mean, part of the reason why I wanted to do this show is because I was just aching to sing. I hadn't sung in a while, but I was kind of hungry to sing. And so there's nothing like, you know, as you know, there's nothing like the live experience, and there's nothing harder. I mean, it's like on Broadway, I've done over a couple thousand performances on Broadway, and you know, people speak, oh, I can't wait to go work on Broadway, and of course, you know instantly it's somebody who's never worked on Broadway, because those of us who have love it, but by the same token, your body goes into a kind of a shock. You know, it knows what it's in for. And but there's nothing like having live people in the house, because, you know, if you're lucky enough for something to happen, if the story works, you get to be there. And that's that's very special. It doesn't always happen, but when it does, for for a moment. Well, another thing that Jack used to say before every entrance, and I heard him say it a million times, before every entrance on stage or every entrance in the movies or before every take, he would say, like a prayer, he'd say, "Magic time." And, you know, in a way, that's kind of what the show is about, in that when a story does work, it really is magic time, because for a moment, it, you know, we're all one. We're all members of the same tribe for a second, and that's powerful.
Sure. Well, tell me a little bit about some of the other tunes you'll be doing as part of this remembrance of working with all these wonderful people.
Well, it's kind of about my early, it's kind of my journey as a young, that's the other thing was that, you know, I started my career going to open calls where in New York, where I don't even know if they really have them anymore, and open calls or auditions open to everyone for Broadway or touring companies. And you get there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I was you're already number 2,000-something, and you put your name on the end of a stack of yellow pages, you know, on a clipboard on the studio door, and you get on the end of a blocks-long line, and you wait. It's like American Idol, except nobody's watching.
Huh.
And so that's how I got my first few jobs on Broadway.
Was that Grease?
I was here in 77, and
right.
Ended up in the original Broadway company of Grease through these open calls. And so I kind of share that experience, and I do a song from the Fantastics called I Can See It, which, again, I hadn't done in probably 40 years, but that was the first show I ever did, and it was because of a music teacher in high school, Mr. Bissell. Because of him, I saw my first Broadway show, and, you know, he introduced me to the theater, and that was the show that kind of is burned in me somewhere that opened my eyes and kind of created the same kind of need and appetite for the theater that I saw that Mr. Bissell had.
It is those teachers that give us that inspiration, isn't it?
Make all the difference in the world.
Well, I wish you a great show up at the Venetian Room, the place where Tony Bennett first sang I Left My Heart.
And where Dean Martin appeared in 1948 with Jerry Lewis.
Tickets available at www.bayareacabaret.org or by phone at City Box Office 392-4400. Peter Gallagher, thanks so much for taking some time today.
Thank you so much, David. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Give me the dice and give me room. You've seen me roll for 100 G's, but I got a little more than dough riding on this one. They call you Lady Luck, but there is room for doubt. At times you have a very unladylike way of running out. You're on this date with me, the pickings have been lush, and yet before this evening is over, you might give me the brush. You might forget your manners, you might refuse to stay, and so the best that I can do is pray. Luck be a lady tonight, luck be a lady tonight. Luck, if you've ever been a lady to begin with, luck be a lady tonight. Luck, let a gentleman see how nice a dame you can be. I know the way you've treated other guys you've been with. Luck, be a lady with me. A lady doesn't leave her escort. It isn't fair. It isn't nice. A lady doesn't wander all over the room and blow on some other guy's dice. So let's keep the party polite. Never get out of my sight. Stick with me, baby, I'm the fellow you came in with. Luck be a lady, luck be a lady, luck be a lady tonight.
Luck be a lady tonight, luck be a lady tonight. Luck, if you've ever been a lady to begin with, luck be a lady tonight.
Luck, let a gentleman see.
Luck, let a gentleman see.
How nice a dame you can be.
How nice a dame you can be.
I know the way you've treated other guys you've been with. Luck,
be a lady with me.
A lady wouldn't flirt with strangers. She'd have a heart
she'd have a soul. A lady wouldn't make little snake eyes at me when I bet my life on this roll. So let's keep the party polite.
So let's keep the party polite.
Never get out of my sight.
Never get out of my sight.
Stick with me, baby, I'm the fellow you came in with. Luck be a lady.
Luck be a lady.
Luck be a lady.
Luck be a lady.
Vocalist, actor, the multi-talented Peter Gallagher from his Broadway run of Guys and Dolls. For information on his one performance-only show at the Venetian Room this Sunday, visit www.bayareacabaret.org. Peter will also be a guest live on West Coast Live with Sedge Thompson this coming Saturday morning. Tune in from 10 to noon for West Coast Live here on your local public radio station, KALW San Francisco. I'm David LaTulipe, your host for the Sleigh Bell edition, somewhat of Open Air. We're still to come with some interesting events of all sorts for you to share with friends and family to go to in the performing arts fronts here in the Bay Area. And next, a little chat with an interesting show, and we'll call it an alternative show. The Crackpot Crones present Crones for the Holidays. It stars Terry Baum, who is a slightly world-renowned lesbian playwright, as she calls herself, and Carolyn Myers, a retired warrior princess of comedy. You can join this lesbian Jew and this straight-lapsed Catholic to celebrate the joys and oy veys of Hanukkah, Christmas, solstice, the New Year's, and everything else. Baum and Myers were members of Lilith, the renowned San Francisco women's theater of the 70s, and they join me now live in studio. Welcome, ladies.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
Oh, of course. Crones for the Holidays. Okay, let's hear about the inspiration for the show.
Hi, this is Terry Baum
I think it was...
One of the reasons for doing the Crackpot Crones, we've been friends for 40 years and collaborators, was to just fulfill all our fantasies. And I've always wanted to do a holiday show because I felt as a lesbian, as a feminist, as a political person, there just was very little for me to go to that was for me. I could go along to all the nutcrackers and velveteen rabbits and all that for the families, but I wanted to do a holiday show for the rest of us. We consider ourselves warped old feminists, and we need something to do for the holidays, too.
I should say so. Carolyn Myers, Terry mentioned a 40-year collaboration period.
That's right. We met at UC Santa Barbara in the theater department. Terry was a graduate student, and I was just graduating. And first, we started a community theater, and that was the beginning of our work together. And it was a very exciting time. And then we moved up here. Terry started Lilith, and I joined the next year. So we've worked together for many, many years.
I should also mention that you folks co-wrote Dos Lesbos, a play by, for, and about perverts, which was opened in Oakland in 1981. It inspired the first anthology of plays by lesbians in 1985 and managed to offend the Pope in an Italian production in
yes.
Rome in 2000. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah. We were very happy about that. We got to go see that show.
Yeah.
It was Gay Pride 2000, and at midnight that night, Gloria Gaynor was actually there singing. There was a full moon, and we were dancing in the Roman Forum with thousands of people from all over the world, and the Pope had already been annoyed by the presence, tried to stop the Gay Pride parade. It was an ongoing thing with him, and Terry looked at me and said, "You know, our lives now have meaning because we've offended the Pope."
And now you're bringing it all back to the Bay Area.
That's yeah. right.
It's harder to offend people here, but we are making a major effort. We're doing a radical reinterpretation of the Virgin Mary.
Yeah, we're telling the nativity story from Mary's point of view, just sort of the nuts and bolts of finding yourself 13, unmarried and pregnant, and the story she created to save her own skin and how that went viral and has had unintended consequences.
Go on.
You have to come to see what happens next.
Yeah, well, this is all happening in Moscow. So there's two scenes with Mary. In the second one, she has an encounter with Pussy Riot.
Okay.
Which, of course, the Russian punk women who have been sentenced to prison for their demonstration and performance in this church where they asked the Virgin Mary to become a feminist.
That's what their song is. They pick that church and they sing right in front of an icon of the Virgin Mary, and it's called Punk Prayer, Mother of God, Put Putin Away. And so we are honoring them.
Well, that skit has already got my imagination running wild. Imagine one of the lines is going to be like, really, Dad?
Well, as a nice Jewish girl, it's a wonderful thing to be able to play another nice Jewish girl.
Tell us a little bit about some of the other sketches in the show.
Well, we want to do...
Or would you like to do one?
Yes, we want to do an excerpt from Booby and Her Butch. We're just going to do a very short part of it, but in this scene... Franny, which is Carolyn, she's the nice Jewish girl.
I'm the booby.
Yeah. And she's come out very recently as a lesbian, and she's worried about her Orthodox children.
Grandchildren.
Grandchildren.
I'm a booby.
Yeah, she's a
get your terminology. Yeah. Aren't you the Jewish one?
No, this time I'm playing the non-Jew. Actually, I'm playing the butch.
All right.
The butch part of my personality
I think
is coming
that fits,
out.
Actually. Okay.
Yeah. So anyhow, they're getting ready to go to the Orthodox granddaughter's Hanukkah party, and Franny has already expressed to Joan that she's worried about her granddaughter accepting Joan, not only because she's a woman, but because she's so butch.
And Franny she thinks she has a solution for this problem, which is what this part of the scene's about.
Terry Baum and Carolyn Myers, and a scene from Crones for the Holidays. I'm going to put you on the stage at Carnegie Hall with a little magic here. So go for it.
Before we leave, Happy Hanukkah!
What?
Please, put these earrings on. They're a present from me. Let's go.
Why, how thoughtful of you to give me earrings, unlike anything I have, because I wouldn't be caught dead in them.
You won't wear them tonight?
No. So I do embarrass you.
I'm sorry. Oh, I am just too old for all of this. People don't want me to change. I should never have fallen in love with you. Oh, I wish you were at least Jewish.
Would your granddaughter like me better if I was Jewish?
Well, of course, it would be at least something.
Oh, well, okay, I'll convert. What the hell?
You can't convert just like that.
No. I didn't mean what the hell. I meant I've always wanted to be Jewish. I felt I was Jewish. Felt this tremendous connection.
You would be willing to convert to Judaism to avoid wearing these earrings?
Let me see them. Absolutely.
I'm telling you, it's a lot of work. It takes years.
Really? I thought I could just go in, tell them I'm a sinner, then they throw a little water on me, and presto chango, I'm a Jew.
Well, months of classes with the rabbi. At the end, you take a ritual bath. Plus, you have to believe in God.
Oh, I had no idea. I've got to think about this.
Darling, you are perfectly free to think about converting to Judaism at any time. But right now, we have to leave because we're going to be late to Sarah's Hanukkah party. Oh, I think these earrings would look so beautiful on you.
Okay, I've decided I'm going to convert. Let's go.
Why are you doing this?
No, really, I'm only working part-time. I should be able to spend 10 hours a week on converting. That would be enough, don't you think?
You are mocking my religion.
Your religion? I didn't know you actually believed.
Oh, okay. You're mocking my ethnic background, my people.
And you are mocking my people.
Your people? And what people would that be?
The butch people. We are a people, too.
Oh, come on.
We have been oppressed like the Jews. We hang out together like the Jews. And we have our own beliefs and rituals just like the Jews.
Really? What beliefs do the butch people have?
that we have to initiate the first kiss.
That's not how I remember it.
You violated my beliefs from the very start.
You seem to handle it so well.
I was in shock. I thought you were straight.
I was.
If only you had come to me and confessed in an awkward, stumbling, adorable way that you were attracted to me, that would have given me the opportunity to seduce you properly, something my people do very well.
I was overwhelmed with lust.
Oh, no, you had to jump my bones.
I'm sorry.
And another thing about my people. We have a strict prohibition against wearing sparkly, dangly earrings.
Is that so?
Yes, that is so.
From the Studio A stage of KALW, that was Carolyn Myers and Terry Baum, two crones for the holiday, with this excerpt from their sketch show that is at Stageworks Theater in San Francisco on Valencia Street. 9 performances over 3 weekends, December 15th through 30th. Good stuff. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
We really are very excited about all the new material in the show. And we also have a very important song about the Mayan apocalypse.
Yeah, because this year, you know, we have a special holiday, too, that we don't usually have because of the rumored Mayan apocalypse,
right,
which we'll explain to you.
I'm going to be in New York for that, actually.
Oh, well, you might. Come see the show the first weekend, then, because who knows?
All right, let's hear about the Mayan apocalypse.
Okay, so this song, one of the reasons it's so special to us is that the lyrics are written by David Hyman, who we also met way back in the 70s and were in theater groups with,
and he was the lyricist for the songs in Dos
Lesbos.
That's
right. And then Scrumbly Caldwin, who is a great composer and was the musical director and composer for the Cockettes and is a very dear old friend. He composed it. So the two of them. So it's a real community effort.
Something tells me this is a radio first, a song about the Mayan apocalypse.
Not just radio. It's the first time ever. All right.
Hit it, gal.
Okay.
Hey, Carolyn. You know, a lot of people get stressed out around the holidays.
That's so true. And this year, Terry, people are more stressed out than ever before.
They are?
Well, of course.
Why is that?
Well, this year, in addition to the usual seasonal festivities, there's also the end of the world to worry about.
Oh, you mean the projected Mayan apocalypse.
That's right. The Mayan calendar ends on December 21st, 2012.
Well, knowing how much attention people pay to ancient Mayan culture in their daily lives, it's no wonder they're upset. But Carolyn, how exactly does the Mayan calendar work?
So glad you asked. According to the Mayan calendar, well, according to what Wikipedia says about the Mesoamerican long count calendar sometimes used by the Mayans, 20 days make a weenal. 18 weenals, that's 360 days, make a tun. 20 tuns make a kakatun. 20 kakatuns, that's 144,000 days, or just under 400 years, make up a baaktun, and the date of the 13th. And presumably final baaktun since creation falls on December 21st, 2012. Ooh, that's the winter solstice. And it's also the exact date, give or take a century or two, when the winter solstice crosses the galactic equator that runs through the center of the Milky Way. Think about it, huh?
It's the last day on the calendar, and we all know what that means. It's the end of all we're living for, of our hopes and plans and dreams.
It's the end of civilization, and of all that's sweet and sublime.
'Cause the last day on the calendar is the end of time.
You've just a few more days left, so you'd better use them well. Get high, have sex, eat all you want. Tell your boss to go to hell.
Spend all your money on a cruise. If offered drugs, do not refuse. 'Cause what the heck have you got to lose?
It's the end.
Go on, spend. It's the last day on the calendar. When today is done, it's done. So be sure to say your prayers tonight.
If that's your idea of fun.
For according to the Mayans, late tonight it comes to a halt. And if you wake up tomorrow, broken, pregnant, full of sorrow. Yes, if you wake up tomorrow, it's the Mayans' fault.
Those who read a little further in Wikipedia may have noticed that according to that same long count calendar, 20 Ba'aktuns make up one Pictun. So we'll actually still be in the first Pictun until October 13th, 4772. In fact, the Mayan astronomers worked out that 20 Pictuns make up one Calabatun, 20 Calabatuns make up a Kinchakintun, and 20 of those make up an Alautun, which works out to something over 63 million ordinary calendar years. Yeah, they don't call it the long count calendar for nothing.
It's the last day on the calendar, but that doesn't mean a lot. Every calendar has a final page.
Can you show me one that has not?
So please do your Christmas shopping.
Make a date for New Year's Eve.
'Cause knowing just exactly when the world will end.
Knowing to the day just when the world will end.
Claiming that you know just when the world will end. Only fools and frauds believe.
The last day of the Mayan calendar. Terry Baum and Carolyn Myers, thanks for sharing that tune.
That's a first public performance of that, David.
Well, that's a radio world premiere. Let's put it that way.
But you have to come to the show if you want to see the incredible dance that goes along with it.
That's right. We cannot communicate the amazing choreography that Carolyn and I
executed. I certainly enjoyed it here in the studio. It was really brilliant.
Yeah.
The Crackpot Crones present Crones for the Holidays. It's at Stageworks Theater. Carolyn Myers and Terry Baum, very interesting alternative show for the holidays. I wish you every success in your performances, which are December 15th through the 30th. And thanks for taking a little time on Open Air today.
Thank you.
A lot, David.
Information at crackpotcrones.com or through tickets are through stageworks.org. That's stage W-E-R-X.org. Good afternoon once again. I'm David Latulip. You're listening to Open Air on this jam-packed, 98% holiday special. I'll be talking with Diane Keough in just a moment about some interesting things that are happening here in the Bay Area on all sorts of stages. Stay with us. Listening to Open Air on local public radio KALW San Francisco. Welcoming back to the KALW airwaves, Diane Keough, who's here to share some holiday picks. I don't think any pans today. Let's not do any pans, just picks for what's doing
no pan.
The Bay Area.
Good picks.
Hi, Diane.
Hi. Well, a couple of things I wanted to talk about. There are a couple of museums that you can go to for the holidays and really be entertained by what's there. One of them is the Saratoga History Museum on Saratoga Road in Los Gatos, and they have something going on called Santa's Workshop, Remembering Favorite Toys. Well, if you remember Lincoln Logs and Erector Sets and teddy bears and dolls with porcelain faces, that's the place to go. The other interesting thing about this little museum is that they have put next to each item a little bit of a history that we might not know about. For instance, there are a couple of things that I love. In 1968, did you know that Silly Putty was taken into space with the Apollo 8 astronauts?
I think I did hear that somewhere.
Well, let me try you with this one. During World War II, Allied intelligence agents sent Monopoly games into German POW camps. The British had developed a way of printing the game on silk. Prisoners found escape maps hidden within the game boards and miniature compasses and real money stashed in the pockets of the Monopoly money. Is that cool?
That is an interesting little bit of trivia.
Got another interesting one. In 1949, Dr. William Sewell and William Glenn of the Yale School of Medicine used an Erector set to build the precursor to the modern artificial heart. Now, that's interesting about old toys.
It is.
At any rate, you can go to see the museum. It is open Friday through Sunday from 1 to 4. And if they want any more information, they can go to www.saratogahistory.com.
Let's get another museum. What else is happening?
I got another museum. The other museum is the Pez Museum. The Pez Museum, they call themselves the original Pez Museum. And for a while, and I don't know if it's still going on, they were being sued by Pez because they had the Pez Museum. It's a little teeny place, and I don't know what the lawsuit was all about. It's in Burlingame, and it has all manner of Pez. If you don't know what I'm talking about when I say Pez, go get a cup of coffee because...
Google it. Just tell them to Google it.
Just Google it. But they have vintage Pez, new. They have a giant Pez that's as tall as you are, David, which is pretty tall. They have Bob the Builder, Winnie the Pooh, Star Wars, the Presidents, even Pirates of the Caribbean. They're up to date on that. They also have the original packages for Tinker Toys. I don't know if you remember them, but they were a long tube that the
sure.
Tinker Toys
yeah,
came
and
in.
It was a big, it was tube, and I remember it was a tin screw top right. on the top of it. Yeah.
They have one of those. They have Lincoln Logs and Erector Sets, along with banned toys from the past. Okay, one band toy was Spanish Barbie. She was wearing a Toreador's costume. But what happened was they decided that was cruelty, and they had people writing in about cruelty to animals because of Toreador, so they had to stop selling it.
Oh, I thought maybe there was a wardrobe malfunction. No.
Lawn darts.
Lawn darts.
We used to play at something called Jarts. It's the same thing, and
sure.
I loved it. But
yep.
apparently they had to stop people from throwing them at each other, and so they had to take those off. Another one was a missile launcher. On the package, it was written, do not aim at people's faces, mouths, eyes, or ears. Apparently, they did, so they took it off. Hmm. But those are the interesting things you find out about these little museums. Both of them, I think, are worthy of going to with a family or by yourself.
Where is the Pez Museum again?
The Pez Museum is in Burlingame, and you can reach it. It's on California Street. You can reach it by calling 650-347-2301. They're open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 6. And it's really a lot of fun for adults as well as kids go crazy in there. But adults will have a really good time looking back at those games as well.
Tell you what, we'll see if we can post some of this information on our website so people don't have to scramble
nice.
With a pencil. And by the end of the day today, we'll include some of these links. Let's talk about some of the incredible music that's happening in the Bay Area.
Did you get a chance to find anything about... Carl Jenkins, have you ever sung his work?
No, I haven't.
It is absolutely glorious. I was lucky enough to go to a rehearsal the other night of Viva la Musica. And the entire first part of the show is Carl Jenkins. It is the most incredible music I've ever heard for a choir to sing, a choral choir that usually sings a lot of classical things. And they had an orchestra with them. But the Carl Jenkins way of music is a combination of choral old music, contemporary music. It sounds almost like theater music or music that would be in back of a film, as well as being almost like hymns in some part. It's the most interesting music I've ever... I loved it.
Where are we going to hear the music of
Well,
Mr.
you're
Jenkins.
Not going to hear it in Redwood City because that's sold out. That was my San Mateo because that one's sold out. And as well it should be. But it will be available on the 16th. The first one was on the 9th at 4 o'clock. That one's gone. The 16th at 4 o'clock will be at St. Peter's Episcopal Church, 178 Clinton Boulevard in Redwood City at 4 p.m. It is something that if you have any love of any kind of music, to hear the choir, this small orchestra, and this brilliant composer's music, it is a place to go and be joyful for Christmas. The first half of the show is all about this. The second half of the show is carols. There are some sing-alongs. It's a great afternoon at 4 o'clock in Redwood City on the 16th.
Great. Speaking of great choral music, Chanticleer Christmas is doing their performances really throughout California, including the Bay Area, in Berkeley on the 10th, in San Francisco on the 15th, and then again on the 23rd. Information at chanticleer.org. And then Natasha Miller's 6th annual holiday concert on the jazz front is at Yoshi's Jazz Club and Restaurant. Jazz vocalist Natasha Miller will perform at Yoshi's in celebration of her 6th annual holiday concert. Selections from a holiday CD, The Season, and other winter holiday repertoire. Information for tickets for that event at yoshis.com.
And there are a couple of other things coming up. One of them is very close to my heart. It's the Christmas Carol from Notre Dame, Dana Moore. They have been putting this on for 27 years now, and they do not charge. It's called A Gift to the Community. It is the same show that Alan Menken wrote and was recently on television. It's that same Christmas Carol. It is wonderful. The only way you can get in is not by buying a ticket, but by reserving a ticket and bringing either a toy, a gift, brand new and not wrapped, or food. Last year, they received enough food for, I'm trying to remember how many tons it was. Oh, yes, here we go. 3 tons of food were donated to local food banks just from this small group, as well as 1,650 toys that were given to Toys for Tots. That's 1 year. It's been doing for 27 years. So it's really a wonderful gift. You can find out about it by calling 650-508-3450. No money necessary, but you do have to reserve your tickets because it's, although it started 27 years ago with next to no audience and absolutely no budget, it has turned into a standing room only event, and as well it should be. Okay, two other things, if I can do it as quickly as possible, is the Smoolin' Christmas Ballet, which was absolutely incredible and will be in the city Yerba Buena from the 14th to the 25th of December. Go. It is a lot of fun. It is the typical old classical first part and jazzy, cool Christmas, the second part. Everybody has their favorite. I have mine. The number for getting tickets to that is 415-556-5000. And quickly.
We'd be remiss if we didn't mention some of the wonderful nutcrackers that are going around here.
Oh, yes. They're all over. Oh, but the other thing I did want to mention was Big River, which had its opening last week, which is a great Christmas family thing.
And where are they?
Theater Works, Palo Alto. It is wonderful. And I didn't realize this. Roger Miller of King of the Road wrote the music for this musical many, many years ago. It's at the Lucy Stern, runs through the December 30th. Do you know that it's the story of Huck Finn? And do you know that this story was published in 1885 and has never been out of print since 1885? That's a long time for something that was written.
Wow. Let me just mention a couple of nutcrackers that are going on. Of course, the classic nutcracker production is at SF Ballet, sfballet.org. Ballet San Jose is also doing a nutcracker through the 23rd Ballet, sj.org. Oakland Ballet has a couple of performances, 22nd through the 24th. oaklandballet.org. And if you want a different take on the whole nutcracker thing, go see The Hard Nut. It's going to be at Zellerbach Hall. Go to calperformances.org for this retro modern take on
it. It is such fun.
Beloved nutcracker tale. And speaking of alternatives, I do have to mention that the Kung Pao Kosher comedy is going to be happening. It's a Jewish comedy on Christmas in a Chinese restaurant. There are 8 shows over the course of 4 days, and they have an early dinner show in honor of the state bird of Florida, the early bird. So the early bird special.
Excellent.
Dinner show. Kung Pao features 4 Jewish comedians. This year's headliner is Judy Gold, also Adrienne Tolsch, Mike Capazzola, and Lisa Gadaldgig, the Kung Pao creator. Information at koshercomedy.com. This hour is just, we have so much more we could talk about.
Oh, there is so much more.
We're so lucky to have so many things going on in
the Bay
Area.
We have a wonderful community here.
Well, I wish you a happy holiday, Diane, and thanks for sharing a little bit of time with us.
And all our listeners.
You've been listening to Open Air here on Local Public Radio, KALW San Francisco.